portrait.
Something I didn't understand about Soho for a long time was the layers. You could walk past someone on the street there, but the Soho they were spending the evening in could be so vastly different from your own. Around you, below you, above you, was so much other life.
Soho was a melting pot for once known as ne'er-do-wells. And so if you were raffish and didn't fit in, you know, queer, whatever you wanted to call it, all that terrible vocabulary that we grew up with.
I said, Jeffrey, you know, we have pork, you know, and beef, but we don't have bacon. Francis Bacon, you stupid cow!
His love, Bar Italia at like 7 o'clock in the morning, the fire officers from Soho fire station gossiping with the paramedics listening to 999 calls and finishing their coffees before they set off, you know, and the bits of character and the people go for an early sound check at Ronnie Scott's or what. Well, it's just, you know, so cinematic.
Soho was this island, wasn't it? It was easier than getting to Paris or somewhere. It was the sort of classic bohemian atmosphere. It was as if the rules changed slightly when you moved into this area.
And so if you were an alcoholic or you was a journalist or you were someone who liked to have very, very long lunches, the restaurants would sort of throw you out at three and then you'd have to find somewhere to go and drink for the next 2 or 3 hours. So you had to become a member of a club.
Whenever I worked in Soho, I really felt like a local. I really felt like, oh yeah, this is where I'm at. And I was living in West London, but like Soho felt like home. It was still a bit shit, which is what I liked about it. You know, there would always maybe be someone like shouting and now like the ivy is there.
I do feel like, you know, I definitely got caught in the middle of a huge sea change, especially in Soho, which is where everything kind of went from being, you know, like I said, like not great, bit chainy. What happened was that like everything in Soho kind of shifted towards restaurants in sort of the Olympics was the big catalyst, because the Olympics were coming to London. They started getting rid of all the bars, they stopped renewing leases, they started charging more for everything. Everything was at a massive premium. So instead of bars and clubs, you were getting restaurants opening or like, you know, eats and prets and all this kind of rubbish.
I mean, I think Walker's Court, right, is a great example of that. Like those weird little sex shops which just kind of got slowly more and more like pushed out. And now we have that horrible club, The Box, which I have never been to, but several friends have been to with clients, because clients think it's like the epitome of hedonism.
But having watched it from the other side of Oxford Street for a long time, you get the rows and the tension between like the residents and the shops and the businesses and the tourists, and it's like interesting, it's sort of Dickensian, you know.
It's almost like a theme park of old Bohemia, and then you go to the famous pastry shops or whatever, and they're rammed with people taking selfies and showing the experience rather than just ordinary folks who live there going in off the market or whatever to have a coffee.